We're doing Rav Chalap in the book Razi Li, and we're in the middle of the concept of learning Torah, Talmud Torah. And today our topic is Haderech leKabbalat HaTorah, the path to receiving Torah. Kabbalat HaTorah mitargemet b'shnei ofanim. Receiving Torah actually breaks down to two types. Kabbalah le'aba, when a person accepts from here moving forward. A person says, I accept from here that I take on the yoke of the Torah. It can be, I take on the responsibility from now on to learn Torah. It can be, I take on the responsibility from now on to perform Torah. So when we say Kabbalat HaTorah, I receive Torah. So part one is, I have the responsibility going forward to learn and to perform. However, there is something beyond that. And that is when a person takes on the responsibility to become a vessel that strengthens, receives Torah in all its variations and colors. Torah helps a person become a vessel for blessing, for holiness. How do you become that vessel? Says Rav Chalap, Yirah, awe of heaven. So we want to accept Torah. Says Rav Chalap, you want to accept Torah? So that involves accepting a responsibility to learn Torah, to perform Torah, to receive Torah in all its various colors. We know Torah touches a person in so many parts of their personality and their attitudes and so many things we do on a day-to-day basis. Well, how do we become that vessel? Says Rav Chalap, through Yirah. There has to be an awe of heaven. As the Medrash Rabba says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. God says to the Jewish people, Chayeichem kol hachokhma v'chol haTorah davar achad kalu. Kol mi shemitiyare oti v'oseh divrei Torah, kol hachokhma v'chol haTorah belibo. Hashem says, I swear, all of the wisdom, all of the Torah revolves around one thing. There is something very easy. Just have awe of heaven. Yirat Shamayim, right? As though that were so easy. That's what the Medrash said. Yeah, have Yirat Shamayim. That's it. That is what allows a person to take into their heart all of the Torah and all of the wisdom. If you think about it, this is really key. This is the elementary point on which you can build. If we can connect to the idea that Hashem is so much greater than us, then we can have respect for the Torah that Hashem gives us. It's the basis for accepting all of Torah. So when does one work on having this awe of heaven? Says Rav Chalap, in the days leading up to Shavuot, from Pesach to Shavuot, right? They left Mitzrayim, and they're going to receive a Torah in Shavuot. In our parsha, we're leaving Mitzrayim. We're headed towards the receiving of the Torah. How are we going to be able to receive the Torah? The only way to receive Torah is when we develop our respect for heaven. As we have more respect, then we can accept the system to the point where a people can say, Na'aseh v'nishma, we're ready to perform before we understand why. Because we have such respect for heaven. People are plagued. Every minute, a person can have many different worries. Look at the average person. He's checking his phone every second. Maybe they sent him a WhatsApp message. Maybe he just got an email. Maybe he got an SMS. Boy, things are so important in life. There are so many things that take up our focus. And we're worried about them. We think about them. They concern us. We have many questions. We have many doubts. A person, it's as though he constantly has this little woodpecker pecking at his brain with so many little things that take up a grave amount of one's day, focus, thinking. There are a lot of little things that are very important. You know what it's like? A kid comes home and, God forbid, someone's having a heart attack. Or let's take a positive example. A kid comes home and his mother's giving birth. So they need to call a midwife, right? So they need to get her to the hospital. So everyone's busy, but the kid just came home from Gan, and he drew a drawing, and he wants to show everyone his drawing. Ima, look, Abba, look, why don't you have a minute for me, right? To him, his drawing is of supreme importance. He just drew that drawing, he wants to show you, right? And you're busy with something real. You have to make sure she gets to the hospital, she gives birth. You want to make sure, you know, what you're dealing with is important. But you know what? We're all that child. Every day, and many parts of the day, there are little things that are really not important. They are really inconsequential in the long run. And yet, they can take up a huge amount of our time, a huge amount of our energy, a huge amount of our focus. All these little worries, they are like the shadow of what should really be concerning us in life. At the end of the day, there is one thing that should concern us at the root of our life. The question of, am I accomplishing what I should be accomplishing in my life? Am I gaining the meaning I should be having in my life? That should concern me. And when a person realizes that I have the potential for this, I can acquire Torah, I can lead a meaningful life, I can grow and reach a point of greatness, then a person starts realizing, hey, I better choose where I invest my time. I want to digress for 1 minute. Many people have a challenge with their cell phones because they use their cell phones to surf the web, and then they have a constant yetzer hara in their pocket. Wherever they go, they have something which can lead them astray. So I took upon myself, I try not to go anywhere on the web with my cell phone. I only use my cell phone to answer emails, WhatsApps, SMS, and calls. I only surf the web when necessary, hopefully, on a computer. Meaning with my cell phone, even when people send me links, I always say email it to me because I don't push links on my cell phone. Once I made the mistake that someone sent me a link to Yeshiva, and I pushed the link, and it happens to be I did nothing wrong. The yeshiva's website was hijacked, but I got such terrible things. I deleted my whole phone. I started the whole phone from scratch. I thought that a virus had entered my phone. What really happened was the yeshiva's website was hijacked, and it didn't matter to me. It was a lesson. Don't leave your phone. Right? Don't use your phone for anything other than those little things. But ever since I do that, I can go a week or two or three without being on the web. Because what do we really go to the computer for? What you're really doing is you're answering emails. But you have advertisements. But once you're on the web, you check out this news article, you check out what's on the news, you open up these news sites, and you end up wasting hours. Meaning the time flies by, and you lost so much of life. So today, we find ourselves wasting tons of time, just because we're there. It dawned on me last night that I've gone so long without even being on the web, simply because I only use the phone for answering emails. And I have this rule, don't do other things on the phone. So coming back to here, today we have the ability to invest a ton of time in developing what we should be developing in our lives. We're in a generation that never had it so easy, yet we never had it so hard, because we have all these temptations and we can get led astray so easily. But, says Rav Chalap, if we remind ourselves that all these other things are the shadow of the shadow, right? You walk in the sun, so there's your prime shadow, and then there's a lighter shadow very often that comes out. Says Rav Chalap, it's the shadow of the shadow of what should really be concerning us.
I want to ask you, I don't know if in the Torah or in some books talk about how many times Moshe Rabbeinu go in the Sinai, because I was trying to explain me after God gave the rules. How Moshe knows what happened next after God gave the rules? Because I was thinking if the tables if the rules are the oral Torah and then the written Torah, how happened this process? How many times Moshe Rabbeinu got to Sinai, or can you explain me, or do you know this?
It's a good question. It deserves a long answer. Let's discuss it next Thursday night, okay? The Gemara discusses your question. The Gemara and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. So it's discussed in numerous places. You asked two questions. First one question, how many times did Moshe go up to Sinai? That's a machloket. Two opinions. Gemara versus Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Then you asked, how did the continuation of the Torah get written? That's two opinions in the Gemara. So remind me, when you ask it, just let's divide it into two topics. And Rabbi Zat Hashem, that we will discuss next Thursday.
Okay, thank you.
And so, a person really finds himself a little bit depressed. A person finds himself, so to speak, mourning, because a person recognizes that he's not fulfilling his potential. A person finds himself sometimes discontent in life, because deep down inside he senses that he can lead a life of meaning and he can focus and channel his strengths and his focus to what's important. And a person recognizes that Hashem gave the Torah to the people of Israel at large, but also to each individual, and each individual has a potential that deep down inside he wants to realize. And deep down inside, there's this constant frustration, why can't I attain what I really want to accomplish? So the answer is, because I'm allowing myself to be distracted. If we focus and say, hey, I can and I want to accomplish, well, then we can. And that's at the root of man's frustration. Man's frustration stems from a recognition that he can be great, yet that involves making a decision to be great. That involves making a decision. I won't be distracted by things that are unimportant. I won't let them take my focus. And so man very often looks for other sources to placate his sorrow, his mourning, yet he won't find them, because really his frustration stems from there, from the desire to be great, from the ability to be great, from the unrealized potential that's within him that will be released when a person accepts Yirat Shamayim, and through Yirat Shamayim, through the awe of heaven, connects to the system of Torah and develops it, the Kabbalat HaTorah we were talking about. We live in a world where there are two levels to everything we deal with. There's the external level and the internal level, and they're not the same. On the external level, we feel like there are deadlines and all kinds of things are very important. And on a deeper level, we understand they're not so important. Other things are much more important. However, when a person has not developed their spiritual perspective on the world, so then the world they meet is a world that seems to indicate that so many external things are of such great importance. As a person grows, so then really important things take center stage, and lesser important things become recognized as lesser important. And you can see this, right? You can sometimes sit on a bus and hear two youngsters talking, and they're very, 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 very upset because they don't have the newest iPhone, because they didn't get the best set of sneakers. And there are these things that to us maybe make zero difference. And we look at them and we see how incensed they are over something that is really unimportant. And you could look at it and say, hey guys, in the long run, does it really matter? You know, who cares? But they won't hear you because they're not there. Yes.
Yesterday, in one of the shiurs, we was discussing about mistakes and focusing on medical mistakes. And now you talk about levels, and we was talking that it's the mistakes are in some levels. But for me personally, the word mistake only has one meaning, and is the meaning of a mistake. It doesn't matter if I make a mistake because I don't give a good treatment to my patient to my patient or not. It's a mistake. I can distinguish from when is this level of mistake, this level of mistake, or is more or less level. Can you explain me these levels in some moment? Because now you talk about levels, and I don't understand that.
In all of life, we're making decisions where we'll invest our time, our energy, our focus. So a child wakes up Shabbos morning and they decide they're not going to shul today. They want to sit and play Lego. Okay, that's fine. That's why they're a child, right? One of my kids did that last week or the week before. I didn't say anything, right? Over time, they'll learn that shul is more important than Lego. If they're at a stage where they don't appreciate it, so it'll come with maturity. There's no point in fighting it, right? If they see that we value shul, they'll get to it. However, we as adults also make this mistake. Meaning, if a person's answering an email, and because of that they miss minyan, if a person is staying up late online, and because of that they don't wake up on time for davening, so they also made the same foolish mistake as the child, right? So that's the mistake Rav Chalap is talking about. He says, throughout our life, we make the mistake of giving focus to things that are much less important. But we live in a world where there are two levels. There's the spiritual level, and then there's the level you see with your eyes. What you see with your eyes is not the spiritual level. And what you see with your eyes gives the impression, gives the feeling that things have much more importance than they really do. Meaning, if you don't think about the spiritual level, so then right now reading this article is very important. But maybe it's not. Again, maybe in your line of work, in medicine, it could be very important. But in general, the average person ends up repeatedly making choices that are the wrong choices, because they're not thinking on the spiritual level of what should be important to me, but rather they're thinking on the more physical, mundane level, what seems important right now. So those are the two levels Rav Chalap is talking about. Just like the child who chooses Lego over going to shul, well, the adult also chooses Lego over going to shul. The adult who stands in davening and chooses to look at his cell phone at the time he should be focusing on davening is also choosing Lego over going to shul. In his realm, he is choosing something far less important over something more important. But that's because we access the world on a mundane level. If we would look at the world on a more spiritual level, then we would have a very different perspective as to what's important. A simple example is, you're at a kiddush, and they brought out cake. Now, what does the average person think? Let me grab a piece of cake before it all disappears. That's one level of thinking. The other level of thinking is, let me make sure the people who need the cake get the cake. Maybe there are people here who won't have a good meal when they get home. That's a totally different way of looking at the kiddush. It's if there's an old person who can't make it through the line and get to the kiddush, maybe I'll bring him a drink. wait a second, what's important at the Kiddush? Is what's important I get a piece of cake, or is what's important I can make this into something where I've done something meaningful in this moment? So we're all human. We all want that piece of cake. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to recognize that our vantage point is something we want to develop to being on a higher level. And that, says Rav Chalap, is where we have frustrations, because we look at life and we give an incorrect amount of importance to things that are unimportant. And we can attain greatness, but it involves a different perspective. And we know deep down inside that we can be greater, and we know we can do it. So that's where we're frustrated, but when we don't make that choice.
But now the question is, how I can know, for example, if I make a mistake, you are telling me that two levels, the physical level and the spiritual level. When I make a mistake, how I know that it's a physical mistake or is a spiritual mistake? Because for me, it's like, if I make a mistake, it's a mistake.
Think about it.
It will affect two levels. And this is one. And the second one is, for example, okay, I know that in the, by the way, that I try to be better, God will be more high. I exalt the name of God when I am trying to be better. But how I can be better if I don't know this exact division between spiritual and physical?
Think about it. It's a new concept. Think, right? You have good questions, but let's digest the concept and see if over time you still have questions. Rav Chalap always brings us to new concepts that need to be digested. Let's think about it and see. Again, if you still have a question by Thursday, bring it up again Thursday. Says Rav Chalap, at the root of our, so to speak, question in life is, can we reach a point where we accept the Torah, or where we receive the Torah in encompassing its knowledge, in the Torah's encompassing manner where it encompasses all of life, in the depths of understanding the Torah, and what is the tool to that level, says Rav Chalap? Yirat Hashem. If a person wants to connect to the Torah on all those levels, the way to become the vessel, the way to connect to it, is through a deep, deep, deep respect of heaven. And when you have that, then you can accept the Torah. And so if we're working backwards, Rav Chalap says there's a frustration we live with, which is because we recognize we could be on a higher level and we're not there. The way to get to that higher level is through Kabbalat HaTorah, receiving all these different shades and colors of the Torah. The way to receive the Torah is to have that respect of heaven. And that, says Rav Chalap, is the period between Pesach and Shavuot. The Jewish people leave Egypt, so what they're working on from the time they've left Egypt to the time of Shavuot, and what we work on between Pesach and Shavuot, is developing our awe of heaven. That's what makes a person capable of receiving the Torah. That's what was the Avodah, so to speak. That's our Avodah, even still today, between Pesach and Shavuot. Leaving Egypt was the opening line. But from there has to be a work. A work of every individual in order to attain Kabbalat HaTorah.